Hello and welcome to Guy Perryman Interviews. Our travel companion today is Callum Scott, singer who shot to stardom after performing on Britain's Got Talent in 2015, has toured as opening act for Ed Sheeran, performed at Windsor Castle, and was in Tokyo for a live show at Zep Diver City, or Diversity, in March 2024. The conversation took place at Universal Music Japan head office in Harajuku and was first broadcast across Japan on my InterFM radio show. Enjoy the journey. It is wonderful to welcome on board Callum Scott. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Japan.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Live show tomorrow night, so it's pre-show. How are you feeling?
Good. I'm excited. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be playing a bigger show than I ever have in Tokyo, obviously, yep. Minus supporting Ed Sheeran at a stadium.
How was that?
It was just insane. I mean, like, you know, touring with arguably one of the biggest artists in the world is already a dream come true, but to perform in countries and places around the world in that kind of a capacity, singing to tens of thousands of people, especially here in Japan, where I love coming here. It's so different for me from home, and I've always had such a warm welcome from the Japanese people. So yeah, it was amazing performing with Ed Sheeran at the Tokyo Dome, but performing my own shows, there's nothing like it. Yeah. So Diversity, yeah, tomorrow night, very excited.
Ripper. You've been to Japan before and here you are again. Is there something you've discovered about Japan, tangible or intangible, that you love that you want to share with the rest of the world?
I think for me, it's the complete change of culture, change of food, change of landscape. I think that for somebody from the UK, I'm from Yorkshire, so for me, coming into Japan was so incredibly different from anything I'd ever experienced before, and it's so refreshing. It's so beautiful to come to a country that is so efficient, so clean, everybody's so polite and lovely, and the food is so fresh and amazing. I honestly cannot speak more highly of Japan. I love it, and I've only been to Tokyo, Yokohama, and Osaka, but I would love to keep coming back.
Oh, please, you must. Yeah. There's so much more to see.
That's what I mean. I've got to see more.
Let's talk about music. I love the fact in 2013 you won the talent contest, the Hull Daily Mail Star Search. Congratulations. And then, of course, you went stratospheric with Britain's Got Talent. Yeah. How did that feel?
It's hard to put into words, man. It's one of those experiences where my mum, ever since my mum realised that she could put things on her phone on the TV, she constantly brings that YouTube audition up. And it's an amazing thing to kind of look back on, because that for me was definitely a sliding doors moment in my life. And, you know, I look back on that moment really fondly, because that in that moment, I never knew how that would completely affect the rest of my career. You know, from that moment, I've been chasing that high and that euphoria of just the admiration, the respect I received in the room, not only from the judges, but from the audience as well. It's a feeling like no other. And every time I perform live, every time I look out and see an audience and hear the applause or hear people singing back to me, I get the exact same feeling, and I'm chasing that all the time. So looking back, it's very surreal, very strange, but I'm so grateful for, and I always will be. It was the sort of the planting the seeds of my career, and I've been watering those seeds ever since.
Oh, keep on doing it.
Yeah.
It could have swung either way, but Simon Cowell was very supportive.
He was, surprisingly.
Why do you say surprisingly?
Well, because obviously for me, my sister encouraged me to sing. My sister was the person who put us in for the audition, and I was there as a big brother. I mean, obviously, I had Dancing on My Own in my back pocket. I knew that that was the song that I was going to sing, but my sister was, I was there for her, mostly. I'd had an X Factor experience that didn't go very well, and I thought, oh, I don't want to do this TV sort of route to music. So I was going to Britain's Got Talent with kind of bated breath, and my sister went first. She got four no's from the judges. Sam Cal particularly said that he thought that my sister had a bedroom voice. Just absolutely fuming with him. But I then had to go out and impress the same person who just made my sister cry. You know, so it's like, it was a weird time emotionally, because I was like, I kind of hate you, but I kind of respect you as well. And it was it was a tough one. But especially now looking back and knowing that myself and Simon Cowell are partners, and you were the reason he bought into the song with me, and we continue to work together in different projects. It's it's quite weird now knowing that. I mean, he's a teddy bear at heart. He kind of said to me on the side, he was like, I'm sorry I said that about your sister. And I was like, look, it's fine. I'm sure everybody's fine now.
Well, how is your relationship with your sister?
Yeah,
now?
Good, better.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's bumpy there for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it was tough, man. I mean, she kind of felt like the rug had been stolen from under her. And I get that. And, you know, I just tried to be as supportive as I could. I bring her on into various different things I'm doing. She's supported me in Yorkshire, in London, and we've been to Nashville together, and she's written with me. So she's still very much a big part of what I do. And who knows, maybe one day she'll be sat here talking to you about her music.
Never give up. Never
exactly,
give up.
Exactly, exactly.
Have you always known you were a singer?
No. It's funny because when I look back on my musical career, it's like I've always loved music. I studied music at school, was always a massive lover of different genres of music and instrumentation, and even studying up into like minimalism and all that kind of stuff, like really went in and really enjoyed music. But I was a drummer, and I think that was reflective of my personality at the back, making a bit of noise, but kind of being out of sight, you know? And then it was my sister who was the singer in the family. She started singing at these theatres, and then she got her own sort of singing equipment. And when she would leave the house, I would kind of grab it and pretend to be her, you know, emulate her confidence. And yeah, one day she overheard me singing in my bedroom, and that was kind of where she planted the seeds. And she was like, you're really good. Like, you should really believe in yourself more. And she, like I said, she's my biggest support. She was the one who pushed me and continues to believe in me. So I think without my sister, I may never have unlocked that side of myself.
Oh.
You know, it might have always been like singing in the shower, singing in the car, like we always do.
Yeah. You do sing in the shower?
Oh, I do. Yeah, 100%. Not my own songs, though. I get fed up of hearing my own voice. So yeah, definitely sing in the shower. But I think had it not been for my sister, I might have just still been just singing would be a hobby. Which is weird.
How about karaoke in Japan?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, you do?
And it's everywhere as well. Like I think the last time I was in Tokyo, I think the first time I was here, and I did karaoke with a local artist, and I was just like loving it. We did one song and then they were like, oh, well, we're wrapped now. And I was like, can we just not carry on? It's kind of, it's what I do now, you know? But yeah, very, very fun. I got the opportunity to sing my favorite karaoke song with Ed Sheeran the other week in Manila. Yeah, it's my go-to. It's called This Love by Maroon 5.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And you, of course, were in a Maroon 5 tribute act.
Yeah, you've done your homework. Yes, I was. We were called Maroon 4.
That's right. Because were there four of you?
There were four members.
You
see, you got it straight away. Yeah. Some people was, why do you call yourselves Maroon 4? I'm like, well. But yeah, Maroon 4, we were going to be, we were the only tribute band specifically to Maroon 5 in the world at that time.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess because Adam Levine is such a incredible singer. It was as soon as he released Sugar, you know, where it's like, Sugar! I was like, I can't do that. I'll stop being in Maroon 5 now. Oh. I'll be in Maroon 3.
Well, you've got your own thing now, so.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I prefer being Callum Scott anyway.
There you go. I love in Billy Elliot when they ask him, how do you feel when you dance? How do you feel when you sing?
Great question. And great movie as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a strange one for me. When I do my shows, there's definitely an element of, because we've practiced the songs really hard. We, you know, we rehearse, we make sure everything's as tight as it can be because we want to put on the best show, right? And I've got an incredible band. I've got an amazing MD who we fine tune everything. So there is an element when I get on stage that I go into a little bit of a autopilot, so to speak. So I get zoned in. I'm like, I know what I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to sing. And it comes without thinking. But there are times when I have almost like a bit of a reality check. And in that moment, I come out of the autopilot and I'm like, oh my God, like there are lots of people here all singing the song back. And it's usually in the moments where I get the audience to sing the songs back, where I just have a little bit of a second to just kind of appreciate what's going on around me, you know, because you want to take yourself out of the craft for just a second to just appreciate what's going on. You know, too many times in this business, you blink and it's gone. So I try and take those opportunities, but every time I do, I'm a bit like bamboozled by it. You know, sometimes I'll have little flashbacks to when I was sat at my office job, in my human resources job that I used to work at, dreaming of doing what I'm doing, and then I flick back and I'm there, and it's very surreal. Like I said earlier, it's a euphoria, it's a wave of, it just feels like purpose. There's no other way I can really explain it. It's unbelievable.
And you love performing live?
My God, my favorite thing. I do love recording music. I do like songwriting. It does help me. It becomes a therapy for me. I get things off of my chest and I'm able to express myself, but there's nothing quite like having those songs out there, they live wherever and they do whatever they do. And then when you sing them live and you see people singing those songs back with a specific memory attached to it or a certain experience or whatever, you know, and they're singing it with their, they're using all of their lungs to sing it back to you. There's just some magic in that that I can't quite ever explain. Just beautiful.
The radio station I'm with, our catchphrase is "Find Your Colours." It's to encourage diversity. It's for people to find their colour, to be who they want to be. How did you find your colour? And I've read that you said coming out or coming to terms with it was a challenge for you personally. Yeah. Was it difficult with friends, family, or in the public arena? What would you say to anyone now who wants to follow?
Yeah, I mean, friends, family, public arena all had their own sort of challenges. Mm. When I came out to my mum, she was amazing. I mean, she said that she was like, I just want you to be who you are. I love you no matter what. And I ended up writing a song called No Matter What. And it explained that journey. Same happened when I spoke to my dad. He was, you know, great and very supportive about it. My friends, not so much. My friends had abandoned me. I think probably, I think back to it now. And sometimes when people don't understand something, it can be scary. You know, people are fearful of what they don't understand. And I think at that age, at that time of, you know, in the world, I think it was just a bit scary for them. And so they kind of maybe pushed me away to distance themselves from me. But that was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through, losing all my friends at such a young age. I was about 13 or 14 when I kind of said that I had these feelings or whatever. And then again, when I came out to the public, it was another huge milestone of being like, what if people don't want to listen to my music because I am who I am? Or what if people, you know, sort of see me differently because I, you know, because of my preferences or whatever. But since I was able to communicate that and put it into a way that I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to come sort of out the gates and be really loud about it and sort of be a flag bearer for it. I kind of just wanted to do it in my own way. I just wanted to almost subtly put it out there. And in fact, I did an interview with a magazine back in the UK, and it was almost so subtle that people didn't actually clock on. So I had to do another one. But ever since I've been open and I've been honest and I've talked about it with media and press, it feels like such a huge weight off my shoulders. And now I just want to be able to talk about my sexuality amongst other things in my life, mental health struggles, my music, my family, my friends, because I just want to show people that it's, you know, it's good to talk. I think what I'll say to people listening, the first thing I say to everybody is that you should only come out when it's right for you. No, don't ever feel forced, don't ever feel like you have to. Always make sure that you feel comfortable with it first, because first and foremost, you're your own worst enemy sometimes. I think you have to be comfortable. And I think when that happens, just know that there are organizations and charities and there's a lot of love for the LGBTQ plus, a lot. And just know that you will be supported, and there may be challenges for some people. It might be easy breezy for others. I think, you know, just know that there's a lot of support out there. There's a lot of love out there. There's a lot of organizations that can help, a lot of charities that can help with that process. But I've never been happier. I've got to say, from my own perspective, I'm more content. I'm more happy. I'm more proud than I've ever been of who I am. And I kind of just want to be an ambassador for people listening that you can do it, and, you know, and hopefully you will be happier for it.
Bravo. I always speak with people about the power of music. Have you always turned to music in difficult times?
Yeah, I think music for me, it feeds the soul. I think whether you need to have a big old cry or whether you want to dance and forget everything and just be lost in the music, or, you know, if you want to listen to something cinematic, you listen to Hans Zimmer and just get taken away by this cinematic kind of sound. I think there's music out there for every mood. And I think for me personally, when I've listened to music, I'm a big thinker. As soon as there's a lyric there that really captures me, I'm always like, wow, and I send it to everybody. One of those songs was Boys in the Street by Greg Holden that I covered on my second album. It's just so poignant and so powerful a song. And it speaks very sort of unapologetically to a journey, you know, between a father and son. And the awful thing at the end is that, you know, it takes the dad to be on his deathbed to realise what his son's gone through. And I think that power in that is just, it blows me away every time. And I think it's songs like that that I aspire to write myself. But then again, also, you know, as this new album's shaping up, I'm starting to be a little bit more free with my music and just let the music take me. And if it feels like more of a bop, then let it be a bop. You know, normally I'd be like, right, it's got to be a ballad. It's got to be sad. And now I just let it be what it is, you know, in the same way that I listen to music as well. So, yeah, this third album's really shaping up.
Yeah, you can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, Callum Scott, thank you for the music. Thank you for the conversation. Have a fab time here in Japan.
Thank you so much. Arigato gozaimasu to everybody listening. Thank you so, so much. If you're not there on for the show at the Diversity, I will be back. So looking forward to seeing all of you very, very soon.
And thank you for joining us today. For more interviews and information, please go to guyperryman.com.